This episode was translated from a German interview with AI.
A car gets energy from the grid, but in the future, it can also feed energy back, acting as a battery for the home or the network. All of this has to be monitored at the municipal level and at medium voltage levels. That's where smart grid sensors come in. They detect grid fluctuations and help stabilize the system.
Welcome to MIBA Insight, the tech podcast by MIBA for all MIBA colleagues and for everyone who is passionate about technologies for a cleaner planet. Here we talk about what you don't normally see. The technology inside engines, trains, ships, wind turbines, hydroelectric power plants, power grids, and much more. Our experts from MIBA explain how our components contribute to making our customers' products and applications safer, more reliable, and more energy efficient. And they also demonstrate why we are among the world's technological leaders in many of these specialized fields. Today we're discussing smart grids and resistors. What do MIBA components have to do with power lines, and why are small but crucial MIBA components such an important part of them? Christian Lindner and Philipp Wurzinger from MIBA Resistors Austria will be providing the answers today. Welcome, thank you for coming.
Hello.
Hello.
Christian is the sales manager for Europe. Philipp is a product engineer at MIBA Resistors Austria, our specialist for high voltage and other types of resistors, based in Kirchbach, Styria. My name is Ortrin Schandl, and I'm delighted to be guiding you through this episode. Dear Christian, dear Philipp, a few quick questions to start so we can get to know you a little better. How long have you been with MIBA?
I've been with MIBA for 13 years. The running joke has always been that I told my managing director he wouldn't be able to get rid of me, and that's still true today. I am incredibly happy to be able to work in such a truly interesting company and to be able to accompany this path of smart grids and HVDC.
High voltage direct current transmission, we'll get to that later. Philipp, how long have you been with MIBA?
I started with an internship in March 2021 straight out of my studies, and then got a permanent position in October 2021, and have been very happy here ever since.
What do you actually enjoy most about your work?
I think the main thing about us is the extreme diversity. You're involved in everything. That means the higher the standards you set, whether on the technical or commercial side. Even in marketing, you can develop yourself in every area. This means you can truly embrace your unique strengths and consequently have a really good time at the company together with your colleagues. It shouldn't just be seen as work. For us, it's also true that many friendships have developed through all the time we spend together.
Yes, for me it's always nice to see when someone comes up with an idea or when an idea is born within the team. Team picks it up, grows it, refines it down to the last detail together until it's ready for the market. And subsequently, when you see that the product is needed for the energy transition or everywhere around the world and it proves its worth, it always pleases me when I can indirectly create added value for our region through my actions and work. And what I find really cool is that we have a production site in Kirchbach, Styria, so really not right next to the big cities. If a technology company can run a production site in Kirchbach and create real added value for the region, honestly, that makes me happy, especially when we can keep growing and hire more people from the area. And yes, that's definitely one of my biggest motivations.
You work with high voltage resistors, which means it's obviously very much about electricity. Have you ever actually had an electric shock? Philipp, you for sure. You're a product engineer. You're certainly much more familiar with this than Christian.
Yes, well, thankfully that's never happened to me while working at MIBA Resistors, and honestly, with the voltages we deal with, that would have been a pretty unpleasant story. But during my apprenticeship, when I started with mechatronics, I once decided, very confidently, that I needed to repair a power supply. I opened the housing, the plastic cover, fixed it, plugged it in again, and I was feeling really proud. Like, yes, I did it. And then, while unplugging it, I accidentally touched a conductive part of the casing. That was not smart.
Well, once and never again. What about you, Christian?
Even though I'm a salesperson, my background is in electrical engineering. Pretty early on, that meant taking broken devices apart, trying to fix them, and then plugging them back in. And to be honest, I'd say the first proper shock was around 7 or 8. And yes, there have been a few more from time to time during repairs or when working on things at home. Not in the company, though, because when we're talking about high voltage at work, that's a different world. In the automotive industry, high voltage starts at about 100 volts. In our lab, high voltage is 100 kilovolts. That means, of course, if someone were to touch anything here, it would have a much bigger impact.
Good thing it didn't happen at work. Could one actually say that you build MIBA's laziest component? because it doesn't have to rotate, it's not a friction lining, it doesn't do anything mechanical, but it simply has to withstand?
Basically, yes, but we have two other running gags. That is, for us, resistance is futile, and the path of least resistance is the best one. That works both as an electronics joke and as a business joke.
Thankfully, in real life, resistance is not useless.
Well, resistors are obviously needed wherever electricity flows. What specific tasks do your resistors perform?
In most cases, our resistors are protective elements. That means they limit current and voltage, and there are different types with specific names. These are damping resistors, filter resistors, shunts, bleeders.
Exactly. Charging and discharging resistors, for example, are there to safely discharge an electrical load down to a certain voltage level, for example, to perform maintenance or to switch off and safely discharge a device. And then there are lots of other applications like measuring resistors.
A classic example is in HVDC systems, high voltage direct current transmission. There you might use continuous discharge resistors. So if an HVDC system needs servicing, the whole system has to be shut down. And those resistors take care of discharging it. Otherwise, you simply couldn't enter the facility because the voltage is so high that it could harm people.
We've heard a lot about HVDC or high voltage direct current transmission. What is that exactly?
Basically, as the name says, it's transmitting electricity over long distances using high voltage direct current. I think the threshold is somewhere around 70 kilometers, depending on the project, where it starts to make sense. For a long time, people assumed alternating current transmission was more efficient or had lower losses. But over the past years, that view has shifted. That's why HVDC is gaining ground. And in HVDC, our resistors are sometimes even used in combination. So you might have a power resistor combined with a measuring resistor, a high voltage resistor in one package. That creates real value for customers, more function in less space. It has a power resistor combined with a measuring resistor, a high voltage resistor in one package.
So electricity is generated and then converted into direct current during generation and then converted back into alternating current where it is consumed. Is that correct?
Exactly.
But we have to add, your resistors aren't the ones you'd find in a radio. They're specifically designed for high power and high voltage.
Exactly. For more specialized applications like higher voltage, higher power, continuous power, or higher pulse loads. I recently worked on a project for a customer that operated at about 1.5 degrees above absolute zero and in high vacuum. So that's a very specific environment. And in that case, the resistor basically acted as a mini heater.
And fundamentally, what matters to us is high voltage, high power in very compact designs. That means if we're talking about 2000 watts today, there's no competitor offering that in the same size. If someone else offers 2000 watts, their component is roughly 3 to 5 times larger than ours. And that's the reason why we see ourselves as market leader in this area, because we're the ones pushing the technology. We have to be 1, 2 to 3 steps ahead, of course, compared to competitors in Europe and also in Asia.
Yes, exactly. To give you a picture, if you take those 2 kilowatt power resistors that Christian mentioned, we're talking about around 50 by 50 millimeters in size. What's important to mention, they're actively cooled, otherwise it wouldn't work. We always try to support our customers as best we can with our expertise to ensure the resistor works reliably in the final application.
Today's episode is about resistors for smart grids. So, smart grids, in a nutshell, what are they and what are they used for? Do they already exist? Why do you need special resistors for them?
Smart grids today are basically intelligent power networks because we now have many different energy producers. There are wind turbines, gas power plants, solar power, often spread across different locations, including offshore. Energy has to be transported efficiently. And on the local level, energy is fed into the grid, not just by plants, but also by communities, buildings, and homes with PV systems. We feed energy into the grid, and at the same time, we're consumers. And now in automotive, we're moving toward bidirectional charging. So you can charge your car from the grid at home, but in the future, you can also feed power back from the car into the home like a battery. All of this has to be monitored somewhere, either locally or at the medium voltage level. And that's where the smart grid sensors come in. They detect grid fluctuations and help stabilize the system.
The car battery example is great because it's easy to picture. But that whole idea, charging and feeding power back in, scales up massively. It's really about bidirectional energy flow and communication. And for that, you need smart grids, intelligent networks. And among other things, you need voltage sensors and resistors for accurate low-loss measurement and harmonic transmission.
Could you compare it to a motorway network with traffic lights and rules? So traffic flows as smoothly as possible, even though it sometimes goes one way and sometimes the other?
That's actually a pretty good comparison. It's not just the flow, it's also about detecting damages. In Europe, the grid is monitored not only at the power or medium voltage levels, but also in high voltage transmission networks. In the US, for example, sensors are used to detect damage, like a fallen tree or snow-related issues, over dozens or hundreds of kilometers. This means it's not just about stabilizing the network, but also about actually detecting damage or faults, allowing you to pinpoint them to smaller areas so you don't have to search hundreds of kilometers of lines.
But that's not about the smart grid itself. That's the sensors. And the MIBAR resistors are part of these sensors, right?
Exactly. Our resistors are integrated into these sensors, and the resistors play a crucial role for measuring voltage as precisely as possible. Our resistor is a passive component, but it requires an extremely controlled properties, like, for example, temperature coefficient tolerances, voltage coefficients, and so on. And we are very strong here. We are the market leader in this area. In production, we differentiate between direct print and adjustment. Direct print means the resistor is printed and cannot be adjusted afterwards. If it's out of tolerance, it's scrap. Right now, we're the only manufacturer offering that. Others rely on adjusting after printing. That means the resistors can be adjusted after printing. That brings us back to these lightning impulse tests. But adjustment has disadvantages, like one-sided feed-in. We can go deeper into that later. And direct printing also gives higher pulse resistance, bringing us back to lightning impulse tests.
What happens in HVDC networks and smart grids if they didn't have these sensors?
If the voltage sensors didn't exist, the entire network would be unstable and not smart enough to meet the requirements. It would be kind of blind because you wouldn't know what's going on in the network.
Technologically, we've taken a step forward. Previously, voltage sensors used capacitive voltage components, which are much less accurate. But grid standards now require certain accuracy classes, and that's now almost only achievable with resistors because precision has improved so much. For example, we are the only manufacturer worldwide that can produce these cylindrical parts with a temperature coefficient of plus or minus 2 parts per million with a lead-free resistive ink. That means that the resistance may only change by 0.0002% per every degree of temperature change. Basically, there are only 3 measuring device manufacturers worldwide that can measure that. This means that our customers must be able to rely on the expertise.
How do you build something like that? And how did it happen that such a high-tech product is being developed in Kirchbach, Styria?
It's continuous development. We really focus on understanding what the market needs. And then we take the existing technology, in this case, thick film technology, and keep pushing it forward. And as Christian mentioned, the temperature coefficient is a perfect example, especially for voltage sensors. Here, only the best is good enough, and that's exactly where we can score.
Can we explain for our listeners how you actually build such a resistor? What does it usually look like, and what is the MIBAR resistor's magic behind it?
Basically, in thick film technology, you start with a substrate, usually technical ceramic, often aluminum oxide. For voltage sensors, it's typically a round rod, a ceramic cylinder of a certain diameter. For power resistors, it can also be a flat substrate, up to around 1.5 millimeters thick. Then a metallic paste mixed with glass frits, tiny glass particles, is applied to this substrate, which is flat or round, using a screen printing process, forming the resistor pattern. The layout controls the resistance value, among other things. Then it's sintered at around 850 degrees Celsius, so the material bonds, and that forms the resistance. After that, the component is coated to protect it from environmental influences, and then the terminations, the contact points, are added. That's the simple version.
How long does it take from start to finish?
I believe if you look at the entire cycle, allowing the necessary time for all processes steps, then you're talking about a maximum throughput of 3 weeks, depending on quantity. And just to clarify, thick film, so you understand what we mean by thick film coatings, we're talking about 10 micrometers. That's thick film. Thin film would be in the nanometer range, like 10 to 30 nanometers. Thick film and thin film might sound trivial, but they're worlds apart. There are quite a few different technologies behind them, and we happen to be the manufacturer with the broadest portfolio of these technologies.
What was the key innovation specifically for smart grids, and how did you develop it? Was it something you anticipated, knowing that smart grids will likely need to become even more intelligent in the future? Because there might be even more diverse forms of energy generation and energy consumption. Or did a customer request it?
I think it's a constant feedback loop. Our products, product experience from the customers, consultations with them, questioning things again, looking at the customer's problem from their perspective and solving them step by step. that's how we keep moving forward.
What can be added to this is that customers typically try to use standard products and scale them as economically as possible. In this case, however, the customer ordered a resistor from us, then ran initial tests and saw that it didn't meet the accuracy class they actually needed. And our approach is solution-based. That means we work with the customer together and look at all the requirements, including things like how the putting process works and what the technical requirements are. And back then, one of the biggest pain points was lightning strike testing. Lightning strike testing, meaning every resistor used in the smart grid sector undergoes a lightning strike test depending on the sensor size. We start at 95,000 volts for the smallest sensor, 39 millimeters in size, and go up to 300 millimeter size that is tested with a 325,000 volt lightning strike. And there's another set that's been tested up to 1.25 million volts. Those are the voltage classes where our resistors are designed for.
Where do you see 1.25 million volts?
They are used to measure these 800 kilovolt HVDC systems. That means these sets are also part of a large voltage divider and monitor the actual high voltage DC transmissions.
Christian, as you mentioned, you're the world market leader, so you sell worldwide. But you're not the producing in only one location, right?
That's right. We also have a sister plant in China, in Guangdong, and an extended workbench in Slovenia. We also have a sales office in the USA. These are American colleagues responsible for the North and South American markets. Everything else, China and the Americas aside, is served from Europe.
Let's talk about your location in Kirschbach again. Philip, you've already mentioned how much you value working in the region. Last year, the site was expanded. You now have a completely new building at your disposal. What did that change?
We significantly expanded the production area and optimized process flows. We used to have production in St. Stefan, and we brought that back home to Kirschbach, which streamlined everything. We're now organized into three solution teams. We have the solution team for industry, one for automotive customers, and one for PSD, power safety devices, allowing us to serve different sectors really well.
And another important point, the work environment has improved massively. In the past, in the ovens and screen printing area, there was no natural light. Now there are bright workspaces, large windows, proper climate control. Back then, oven rooms could hit 50 to 60 degrees Celsius in summer. People were still happy, to be fair. You can't always see things negatively. But today, there's so much more space, all the production processes. People have opportunities to actually get together in the rooms. They've managed to reintegrate the different production processes into a single location in such a way that people can interact with each other again. Previously, having a separate location meant everything was truly isolated. You actually had to drive there to sort coordinate. Now we have short distances again, and what's a huge advantage, as Philip already briefly mentioned, is that we've renovated parts of the old production facility too and moved all development areas in there.
From a product engineering perspective and for testing possibilities, that's huge for us. So we got the most out of the existing building with a major renovation. Now we have ideal conditions for prototype construction and testing. And here we have expanded our capacities and capabilities significantly.
And what also shows the difference compared to huge corporations, during the renovation, people pitched in, electricians, lab staff, setting up their own labs because they were so motivated by the new space. That kind of mindset is a big part of what makes this work.
That's a good point. Electricians and lab technicians. What professions are actually needed at MIBA Resistors Austria? What kinds of jobs are there?
I think in principle, having a background in electrical engineering is a huge advantage. We always joke, it's easier to explain mechanical engineering to an electrical engineer than electrical engineering to a mechanical engineer. Because in electrical engineering, you only notice something when you get hit by an electrical shock. But jokes aside, we have people from all kinds of backgrounds, from mechanical engineering, mechatronics, electrical engineering, electronics and automation technology. And we also have people who came from completely different backgrounds, for example, who started out as carpenters. If someone is motivated and interested, they can learn a lot here. It's actually quite rare to find a job that allows you to develop so much in different areas without needing a perfect background if you've got the drive.
Even in our solution team, we have a colleague who trained as a traditional mechanic and does everything from prototyping to proper root cause analyses, all learning by doing.
And with us, there's something that I've always valued. No matter how old you are or what degree you have, you are heard. That means no one automatically has more influence just because they've been here for 13 years. We argue based on facts and what people bring to the table. And for us, it doesn't matter whether someone has expertise at 25 or at 55. We don't differentiate in that way. And that's something I find extremely positive.
If our listeners are now fascinated by this topic and would like to find out more, what is the best thing for them to do?
Follow me on LinkedIn. No, I am just joking. I believe there are some great company videos where you can see parts of our new production facility, also as a time lapse, and of course, the homepage. And honestly, come by in person.
So just drop by and see you?
It's easiest internally, of course, but customers too. We also had the summer festival at the opening this year. Families could see where people work and we gave tours.
Dear Christian, dear Philip, thank you so much for this exciting and entertaining conversation. And thank you for being in the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you too.
Together, we're creating technologies for a cleaner planet. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. Until the next episode, take care.
Dieser Podcast wurde produziert von WePodit.